Mr. Poe put up his hands to indicate he had heard enough. "Children, children," he said. "You must give yourselves time to adjust to your new home. You've only been there a few days." "We have been there long enough to know Count Olaf is a bad man," Klaus said. Mr. Poe sighed and looked at each of the three children. His face was kind, but it didn't look like he really believed what the Baudelaire orphans were saying. "Are you familiar with the Latin term in loco parentis?" he asked. Violet and Sunny looked at Klaus. The biggest reader of the three, he was the most likely to know vocabulary words and foreign phrases.
"Something about trains?" he asked.
Maybe Mr. Poe was going to take them by train to another relative. Mr. Poe shook his head. "In loco parentis means acting in the role of parent," he said. "It is a legal term, and it applies to Count Olaf. Now that you are in his care, the Count may raise you using any methods he sees fit. I'm sorry if your parents did not make you do any household chores, or if you never saw them drink any wine, if you liked their friends better than Count Olaf's friends, but these are things that you must get used to, as Count Olaf is acting in loco parentis. Understand?"
"But he struck my brother," Violet said. "Look at his face."
As Violet spoke, Mr. Poe reached into his pocket for his handkerchief, and, covering his mouth, coughed many, many times into it. He coughed so loudly that Violet could not be certain he had heard her.
"Whatever Count Olaf has done," Mr. Poe said, glancing down at one of his papers and circling a number, "he has acted in loco parentis, and there's nothing I can do about it. Your money will be well protected by myself and by the bank. But Count Olaf's parenting techniques are his own business."
"Now, I hate to usher you out post-haste, but I have very much work to do." The children just sat there, stunned. Mr. Poe looked up and cleared his throat.
"Post-haste," he said, "means..."
"Means you'll do nothing to help us,"
Violet finished for him. She was shaking with anger and frustration. As one of the phones began ringing, she stood up and walked out of the room, followed by Klaus, who was carrying Sunny. They stalked out of the bank and stood on the street, not knowing what to do next.
"What shall we do next?" Klaus asked sadly.
Violet stared up at the sky. She wished she could invent something that could take them out of there.
"It's getting a bit late," she said. "We might as well just go back and think of something else tomorrow. Perhaps we could stop and see Justice Strauss."
"But you said she wouldn't help us," Klaus said.
"Not for help," Violet said.
"For books."
It is very useful, when one is young, to learn the difference between literally and figuratively. If something happens literally, it actually happens. If something happens figuratively, it feels like it's happening. If you are literally jumping for joy, for instance, it means you are leaping in the air because you are very happy. If you are figuratively jumping for joy, it means you are so happy that you could jump for joy, but are saving your energy for other matters. The Baudelaire orphans walked back to Count Olaf's neighbourhood and stopped at the home of Justice Strauss, who welcomed them inside and let them choose books from the library. Violet chose several about mechanical inventions. Klaus chose several about wolves, and Sunny found a book with many pictures of teeth inside. They then went to their room and crowded together on the one bed, reading intently and happily. Figuratively, they escaped from Count Olaf and their miserable existence. They did not literally escape, because they were still in his house, and vulnerable to Olaf's evil in loco parentis ways. But by immersing themselves in their favourite reading topics, they felt far away from their predicament, as if they had escaped. In the situation of the orphans, figuratively escaping was not enough, of course, but at the end of a tiring and hopeless day, it would have to do. Violet, Klaus, and Sunny read their books and, in the back of their minds, hoped that soon their figurative escape would eventually turn into a literal one.